Care for our service people. You know, we have service men and women in harm's way, and some of us have family involved, like within situations. So I just want to go to the Lord, and before we start the service, and ask and thank the Lord for the safety of the service people. I'm not sure if it was a man or woman who went down, but they rescued the pilot, I guess, who was downed. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer for that. Father, we just, Lord, thank you for one of our pilots, Lord. Lord, you see the whole situation that's going on in the region, and you knew from way before this time of how this would all play out and what's taking place within our nations and within war and within the armies and everything that's. Just pray for protection for our service people. We pray for wisdom for our leadership, and the leadership in Israel as well, as people are working to break an evil regime that is evil. And Lord, we just pray for a blessing upon the people involved in trying to overtake this evil regime, Lord. We pray for that. And Lord, we ask for a special blessing upon our service people as they are in harm's way. And some of them don't want to be in harm's way, but Lord, they are serving the purpose of freedom. And we ask for their safety and protection. In your name we pray. Amen. And at the same time, Lord, we also pray for the many Christians in Iran, right? There's many Christians in Iran. And we pray for them. Actually, Jack was down at Liberty. They had the prince of Iran, so he was exiled back in the 70s, right? So he was exiled. He's an older gentleman, and I'm not sure where he lives now. And he's not a believer. He's Muslim. But they are working for the freedom. Like, that's, he's not the hardline Muslim, right? But yet, so a Christian university brings in a Muslim Iranian prince, and the prince is explaining that they're tolerant, like their regime when they were in there, their family, the Persian people were always tolerant to Christians. They weren't killing them. And as the prince would talk about, like, you know, within a couple months ago, the regime killed 30 to 40,000 of their own people, in Iran, right? I mean, we saw that they hung one of these wrestlers, 19-year-old wrestler, that they hung in the streets. Man, I wasn't planning on going here, but hung in the streets because they were voicing their concern over the freedoms that they do not have, right? And we have a blessing here. We have a blessing. And you know, obviously, okay, let me stop on that. But we're here really today for what? For the freedom that we have been given from the resurrection from Christ, right? The resurrected Christ that we celebrate on Easter, this day, on a Sunday, where my Savior rose from the grave and came out of the tomb, and he went and to continue to preach on who he says he was. So God bless us, right? God bless us, for our God loved us so much that he sent his son. That his son could have walked away from the responsibility or the plan of being abused and persecuted and hung on a cross to die for me, but he chose to die for me, right? Jesus Christ chose to die for me. He chose to die for you. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. And if you don't know Christ, and I'm assuming most everyone in here does because they know you, but if you don't know Christ as your Savior, then talk to me afterwards. And you've heard the plan of salvation coming from me many times, and I'll tell you again. I'll say it all day long. yesterday we had Easter egg hunts. And as you go throughout this time of year, you go past like every church, boom, Easter egg hunt, Easter egg hunt, Easter egg hunt. I get sick of Easter egg hunts. You know, it's like all over the place, and there's candy and chocolate, and there's Easter, and it's like, okay, it's not about that, but do you know the story behind the Easter egg? Like the Easter egg hunts? Do you know the whole story behind that? So we're going to get there. But how does the Easter bunny travel? He travels in his hair plane. Oh, okay, okay. Where did the Easter bunny learn to ski? Jack, this one's for you. He's a big skier. So where did he learn to, where did the Easter bunny learn to ski? On the bunny slope. You got it, Janet. And what is the Easter bunny's favorite coffee? Egg espresso. Okay, you put a little egg out of coffee. Okay, yeah, you like that one? So you have a little espresso at Easter time today. But the tradition behind the Easter egg hunts and Easter egg, all these parties or things that you see, you know, the Easter egg originally, and it came from the pagan tradition of the Easter egg hunt, or the Easter egg, the egg, was taken from Persia. They have taken it back to Persia. Once again, Persia's been coming up a lot lately, right? Iran is Persia. And it goes back to Persia, this pagan holiday where they would bring an egg in springtime that showed like rebirth spring, right? The rebirth of the earth and coming to life after winter, and the egg was a symbolism of fertile ground and all that type of stuff. The Christian church, long before we started it, has also had Easter egg hunts and Easter egg celebrations. So the tradition, one tradition goes back to Mary Magdalene, who the tradition said, this is just tradition. It's a story, and it was written years and years ago, and it's been documented. So I don't know how true this is. It's a traditional story that this is what people say. So after the death of Christ, Mary Magdalene took an egg to the emperor. It was Emperor Tiberius after the death of Christ, and like a lot of poor people didn't have much. And actually, when we were in Russia, the same thing happened to us. We stopped at this town in Russia that had one like string of light going into it, and they had this egg. Like people would come out and give you an egg because that's all they had. But then they wanted to show you that they appreciate you being this. So the story was Mary that had this egg, and she went to the emperor and told the emperor and presented this egg in her hand, and she said to him, "The Jesus Christ has risen from the grave." And the emperor said back to her, "That is absolutely," I'm not sure if it was not in English, right? So not this exact wording, but he said, "That's absolutely impossible for someone to raise from the dead. It's impossible for that white egg in your hand to turn red." And the church history tradition says when he said that, the egg in her hand immediately became red. So they said it was a miraculous sign. But is that true? I don't know. It's questionable story. It's not in scripture, right? I'm just saying that's where, and then missionaries in the early church would use Easter egg hunts, and they would put the story of, the tomb, and the shell of the egg was the tomb. And as you break it open, Christ, and here's this egg. So they used this symbolism through Easter egg hunts for thousands of years. So this is Easter egg hunt. They're kind of, yeah, all the candy and garbage that I see coming out of one of those plastic eggs. I'm like, no, thank you. But nonetheless, it's, people use it as a tool to talk about Christ. So that's the story behind the Easter egg hunts. But we're not here for Easter egg hunts. This morning, title of the message is Believe or Not Believe. To believe or not to believe. I should have actually called it, like Ripley's Believe It or Not. Just like, should have been Believe It or Not. We're looking this morning at first off, we're going to look at the resurrection story of Christ. Luke 24. I'm going to read this. On the first day, Luke 24, starting in verse 1. On the first day of very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day, that Sunday, be raised again." That's what our Lord said. Then they remembered his words. And that's when they remembered his words. That's what Easter is about. The resurrection of our Christ, of our Lord, our Savior. And the question is, believe it or not believe? To believe or not to believe? Here we find this story taking place. Scripture calls it out, and then we jump right into verse 9 through 12, and we see some things taking place about to believe or not to believe. And now we're talking, these are the people here. Think about this. Easter morning. The women go down to the tomb. Jesus isn't there. The stone was rolled away, and we've talked about this many times. All the stuff that has taken place. But the stone's out of there. They go in. Jesus isn't there. These angels are there. All this stuff is happening on this Sunday morning. At verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others that were in the room. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So these women went down and they told this to the apostles. Then we get to this. Believe it or not believe it. Verse 11. And they told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Wondering, so he didn't believe it either. He's like, what could have happened? What happened to Jesus? Believe it or not believe it? Like, that's the question we all have to answer. Do we believe this story of resurrected Savior? Of Jesus Christ being resurrected? The apostles at this moment didn't believe it. Peter at this moment didn't believe it, wondered what could have happened to Jesus. And we know through scripture and the other gospels where it talks about that the chief priest and the Romans that came said, hey, let's say that the Jews stole the body and that the disciples took the body and then we'll start this deception going. We talked about that before too. But the apostles themselves at this time did not believe it. That's the apostles. So how many times do we think about, for us, our family members and people in our generation and our society that don't believe the same message of a risen Savior? Why? Because it's just like when Mary went to Tiberias with that egg. It makes no sense. It's how in the world could a man who was dead be risen from the grave? Even, and think about this, even, so the apostles didn't believe it. Even after they saw all these miracles that Jesus did, miracle after miracle, people getting up off a mat, walking that were disabled, the hearing, the deaf get their hearing back, the blind can see, Lazarus from the grave, miracle upon miracle. And the apostles, sorry, Walt, I blame this on you. I needed water afterwards, and Karen said, hey, you better take some water. I'm going to put water out here. You had that meat. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good call. I had some bacon. And I started singing. I'm like, okay, it's Walt's fault. He brought that bacon. It was good. But now, where was I? Okay, so the apostles, right? The apostles did not believe. After they saw all these miracles, all these great things, all this power coming from Jesus Christ that came through our Savior, and the apostles themselves didn't believe. And we wonder why now, why people don't believe. The apostles at the time didn't believe. Actually, I don't know, Jen, she brought this up, and I was like, did you read my sermon notes? I'm like, what was going on? This statement caught me this year off guard. You ever get a statement that kind of cuts you right to the soul? Or something else, this statement just ripped me apart. This was... this was a statement. yeah, I need some water, right? Statement from a loved one. Driving in a car. Statement was, man, I feel my stomach. Like everything in my body for my entire life has been, right, serving the Lord. Like, I want to serve the Lord. And I hear this statement, this hard statement of this deception that has overtaken our society. And the statement says, I do not believe in the resurrection. Oh, that's salvation, right? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how we get our salvation. That's how we, that's what we're told to believe in for salvation in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe the resurrection, then there's just a dead man in a grave. There's no overcoming death without the resurrection. I don't believe the resurrection. That ripped me. It caught me off guard. I think about that, and I think about how many other people in here that we have loved ones that have walked away, and they think the same thing. I don't believe in it anymore. Some of them have been to this church, right? Some of them, I know some people that went through theological seminaries and all, and they walk away and say, I don't believe it anymore. That's harsh. But, so then I started thinking about, well, the apostles, at this moment, the disciples, they didn't believe it. We're going to jump over real quick and pull out one apostle specifically. Did you hear Doubting Thomas, right? Did you ever hear of Doubting Thomas? And the poor guy, Thomas, has gotten this Doubting Thomas title about him, which is, he had questions, just like all the other apostles. Was he doubting? No. Like, okay, we're going to look at this. And it's John. We're going to go to John. John 20. And we're going to read what took place here right after the resurrection, starting in verse 21. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed in the, I'm going to set the stage here. So the disciples and the apostles were in this room. The only one there that wasn't there at this time was Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. He wasn't with the other guys in the room. Christ appears to him. This is after the resurrection, happened during all this time. After the resurrection, Christ appears to him. Thomas wasn't there. And then Jesus says, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Goes down to verse 24. Now, Thomas 12 was not the disciple. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said, he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, harsh statement, get ready, harsh statement, I will not believe. I will not. That's an apostle. And he said, I will not believe it. And then we expect and we think people should understand this when the apostles at this, when the apostles at this time didn't even believe it. Thomas didn't believe it. I mean, that's a big deal, right? That's, we're talking the apostles didn't believe it. Verse 26, a week. So a week goes by. So we know from the time of Christ's death, the resurrection, that Thomas was walking around and didn't believe it. He did not believe. He heard the stories. He heard people saying, I saw Jesus. He heard his own friends, these disciples, the apostles, these guys that he spent all his time with, tell him about, we saw, and he did not believe it, wouldn't believe it. His harsh statement, I will not believe it unless this happens. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. And he said, stop doubting and believe. Believe or not believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord, and get this. So this is Thomas. This is the first time we see this transition right here. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Okay? And I'm going to say it how he must have said it. Think about this. Thomas, who was just, he saw Christ for years do all these miracles. And they ramp up and they think and they know that Jesus is the Messiah, but just like many of us, things don't make sense because this was like a God plan, not a human plan where things should make sense to us in our mind, but this God had it to work. Thomas for years followed Christ from the beginning, followed Christ, saw miracles himself and went out and healed people. And when it came to the time for him to believe, he had the harsh statement that said, I will not believe it. When he finally, because he must have felt about that. He must have felt, you know, I followed this guy for 3 years thinking he was the Messiah and now he's dead. Like, what did I just give up over the last 3 years? Like, to follow this guy that's now dead in a tomb. But now Thomas, once he sees Christ and he puts his finger in his hand, puts his hand in his side, and he doesn't say, oh, my Lord, my God. No, he's like, my Lord, my God. You are my God. Like, you think about that. This is the moment where Thomas, I always believe, because it happened to me, right? I always believe there's a moment in someone's life when the Christianity, when Christ, the whole concept of Christ's love for you and his power that he has and the love that the Spirit can give and that through Christ into us and the miracles and the power Christ has, I always believe that there's a moment that someone comes to that understanding. This is Thomas's moment. My Lord, because they always called him what? They always called Jesus Rabbi, Teacher, Lord. And this, it might be the first time where then he says, my God, taking him from just a rabbi, him from just a teacher, now to the position of who Jesus is of my God, right? He had that moment. My God. Our family members, our friends, people that we love, community people, people that we come in contact with, people that we share, people that sit in churches, people all around the world today sitting in a church that they want to understand who Christ is, but might not understand who Christ is. It doesn't make sense to them. They believe, but they're at church trying to figure stuff out, and they need that time. They need that moment of Jesus is my God. My God. Just like here, Thomas realized at this moment of who God, of who Jesus Christ was, my God, right? With that, it's kind of like this. Jesus knew, okay, the other apostles were 11 of them were coming to Thomas and saying, no, dude, this happened. Like, we saw Jesus. We saw Jesus. He came into the room. We saw everything. And they were telling him, but he was like, I will not believe. I will not believe it. Jesus knew exactly what Thomas needed to believe, didn't he? Jesus didn't show up in this room with his hands covered up, with his wounds covered up, and sit down and say, here, have some bread. Let's pass a communion. Let's have a Last Supper and a reenactment of the Last Supper. He didn't say that. He said, you know, let's go out and people. I'm ready to go heal some people. What Thomas needed to believe. I believe Jesus knows exactly what our loved ones, what we ourselves need to believe. Would you agree with that? And then it's going to come down to, do we believe or not believe? But Jesus, just like in this story, Jesus knew exactly what Thomas needed. He needed to put his finger in his hand, put his hand in his side, and my God, that moment. And I think that moment is available and ready for people that we all come in contact with. Our loved ones. People that we know. John, we can. Jesus says, my Lord, my God, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. We're blessed. Have you seen Christ walking down the road? I haven't. I think it'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Seeing Christ kind of come, poof, hey, Jeff. Whoa. But I believe in God. I believe this story, resurrection story. I believe the story of Christ dying on the cross. story of Christ being behind a tomb, I believe that the story of Christ's love for us, and that he had to die for us, that his blood had to be spilled for my nation. I believe all that, but I've never seen him. I'm not even in a vision. Like, sometimes I lay at night, and I told you before, I've been praying a lot, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I continue to roll that through my head. And a lot of times I'll lay in bed at night, and that will roll through my head. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I need a vision. Yeah, I need to see the Lord. Wouldn't that be awesome? But I know Christ is who he says he is. But I haven't seen him, and I'm blessed. And if you haven't seen him, but you believe who Jesus Christ is, who he says he is, Jesus says you're blessed. We're blessed. Amen? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. So when we think about our loved ones, we think about friends, we think about people that don't believe, or walked away from the belief. The evidence has been pointing to who Christ is, and they've heard it, and they understood it, and they get confused, and they walk away, and Christ knows what they need. And my thought on this was like, what can I do? I can pray, right? I can pray. I can be there. I can love somebody. I can talk to somebody. I can't save somebody. I can't make somebody believe something. That's up to God. That's up to someone's time where they said, my God. Revelation talks about this. What I want to kind of call out to you is, in Revelation, like, if you have a loved one, if you have friends, start praying for them. Fill up a bowl. That's what I'm going to fill up a bowl. In Revelation 5, we're going to jump there quick, talks about these bowls of incense that the elders in heaven have, that are the prayers of the saints. That's what scripture talks about. That these prayers, that when we're here praying, these bowls are filled up. It's this incense. So our prayers are filling some type of bowl in heaven. I haven't been to heaven, but these bowls are being filled up with prayers. Revelation 5. As we, I'm going to start in verse 8. And when he had taken in the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one had a harp, and they were holding these golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. This is what they sang. You are worthy to take the scroll, talking about Christ, to open its seals, because you, get this now, going this right to the resurrection of what we just come through in the time of history with Christ. Because you were slain, and with your blood, you purchased men for God. With your blood. From every tribe, language, and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. Think about this. Numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s. That's over a million angels that are involved in this, whatever this, however this looks right here. And it all comes down to, it comes back down to what? Comes back down to the slain Christ, the slain one, the Lamb of God who was slain to purchase, to cleanse us, to purchase humanity from sin. That's what Scripture is pulling out. Over a million angels crying this out in heaven. Imagine how that sounds. A million angels. Whoa, right? I mean, that's a head blower. Jesus knows exactly what our friends, our family members hear or need to see. Pray for that. Pray for that into their life. Pray for that. That their eyes will be open to that. Fill up a bowl for yourself in heaven with the prayers of that, a specific prayer. That person will begin to see the resurrection of who Jesus Christ is. The resurrection of Christ. That the blood of Christ purchased me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the story. I thank you for this, the Thomas story where the apostles, they were like human people like us and me, and they had sins and faults, and they didn't believe, and they like looked at the nonsense, all this stuff taking place. But they knew who you were, and they saw it, just like Thomas had that moment, and he called out to you as he put his hands in your wounds, and he called you God. Not just Lord and not just Rabbi, but God. Because Lord, we know you are our God. Help us, Lord, to continue to walk our life worthy of knowing you as our God. I pray for that. Lord, I just thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to do these things and help us to pray and help us to pray and know that our prayers are heard and they're gathered and that they're answered. Help us to remember that. Amen.
Hey, Jeff,
when
I was thinking, he had to be saved when he was walking with Christ for 3 years.